Okay, thank you everyone. So just to repeat again for the record, I'm describing the status of the requirements document that was posted yesterday. This is something that people have asked about previously, and we've indicated that, you know, we are building requirements around, you know, discussions that have already taken place in the community, and that so far as we had developed it, it was around the draft implementation model that was published in April. So the intent really was just to provide that document and show the work in progress. I don't think that it says or references the technical mailing list, although you know, there's a clarification that can be made if people think it's necessary. yeah, that was the intention, is just to show the work up to that point. And it's not a, you know, it's not intended to foreclose or foreclose any of the discussions that we've been having. It's just the document that has been developed till now. If there's any other questions on that, we can.
Yeah, Karen,
take that
this is
now.
Jeff. Yeah,
yes.
This is Jeff.
Yep.
I absolutely think that you need to do a clarification, because there's no even mention of this group, yet the community knows that we've been meeting. And I think that when people read this document, they're going to think that it contains the recommendations that we have been proposing. And it's going to be very confusing. It's going to be very confusing. Everyone reading it, once we release this alternate version of the requirements, it's just nobody's going to understand it, and everyone's going to think that the requirements document that you put out actually contains what we support. Again, like I said, the announcement has zero reference to even this group existing or that there'll be a new version coming out this week. So it really is very, in my opinion, and I'd like to hear from others, but in my opinion, it's very misleading, and I'd like to see it clarified.
Okay. Can I ask what do you mean by there's a new version coming out this week?
Karen, we've been talking about this alternate version coming out for public comment this week.
That's understood. I thought you meant of the requirements document.
Well, I mean, in essence, it will change all of the requirements. It changes everything, for example, Sunrise, from Sunrise codes to, I mean, you're going to have people with these two different versions. They're going to think the one that you're doing is the official version that's been worked on by us. I mean, like I said, it's going to be extremely confusing to everyone reading it. They're not going to understand the difference. And it really, frankly, it's kind of hard for this group to keep working if with documents put out like that looks like an official version. I mean, we haven't even gotten your feedback, the provider's feedback, on any of the documents that we put out there. So rather than giving us feedback, what it looks like is you're just posting your version and you're fully intent on going with your version without even providing us feedback on frankly, a recommendation from the registries, which, you know, are the ones that actually have to interface with the clearinghouse.
Okay, so there's a clarification that we can make to that. David Payne is in the queue.
Yeah, I actually just wanted to make sure I understood. I did see the document about the proof of use requirements. As far as the requirements document, has there been anything since the 28th of June, I think is what it was marked as, the draft for the trademark clearinghouse? Have there been other documents beyond that?
Yeah, so in the same announcement that has the proof of use memo and the couple of things for comment, there's in that same announcement, there's a link to the requirements document that Jeff mentioned.
But the requirements document, are we still working off the... I mean, that link then is to the one that has been out for several months now, right? Or has there been a revision of that as well? That's what I'm concerned about. I just need to make sure I understand.
Yeah. So it's not a restatement of the model. It's consistent with that, with what was published, by ICANN a while ago. But it's in the form of, requirements spec.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just look closer. Okay. So, sorry. Thanks.
And it's actually going through the exact same flows. I'm just reviewing it now. It looks like exactly what was in the ICANN draft, model draft.
Yeah. So it's consistent with other things that we've published. It's just designed to present it as requirements.
I agree with Jeff. This would be very confusing for the group. Wider distribution.
Okay, so we will make a clarification on that.
Which actually sort of leads me to my next question, which is that, and I know Chris writes on and he's got the latest versions. Chris, I don't know, have you sent those to the list yet?
No, I hadn't sent them to the list yet. They're pretty much the same as the ones, the drafts that I sent before. They just incorporate a little bit of feedback from Tom Barrett, and they've got the diagrams in them now. But aside from that, they say the same things that they said before.
All right. So, Karen, how can we get these documents published by ICANN as the alternate version? And maybe with the clarification, we can do that.
So we can figure out how to post them if you think they're ready or will be shortly.
So the version 1.0 that we want to send to the larger community for comment, I plan on posting to a few different lists. What did I tell you guys, Jeff? I think I told you guys approximately 7 a.m. UTC, so 0700 UTC on the 26th of September. So it's a little bit less than 24 hours from now. Because the documents reference Neustar, VeriSign, and Demand Media by name, I'm just waiting for those three organizations to tell me that they're okay with the documents. So I've asked them to do that by that time, and then we're good to go.
Yeah, and the purpose of this call was to just see if there was any other feedback. So I'm not sure how long it'll be, but the purpose was just to see if there was any other feedback other than the feedback we had the other day on this document.
Yeah, and if I could just add to that, we got some good feedback and some good changes to the Sunrise document, but realistically, I've heard nothing about the claims document. And I actually expected that to be the other way around. I expected a lot of people to have a lot of views on the claims document. But to date, nothing. So I'm hoping I can take silence as consent, but I'm pretty sure that won't be the case.
Chris, if I could comment on that. I agree with you that there actually is a lot more, let's say, room for comments in the trademark claims. There just seem to be a lot more trade-offs that have to be made. And so I think people are still having conversations about that and just don't feel prepared to, step out with what recommendations they have for it. But that's my impression.
I think that, this is Jeff again, I think that makes sense. I still think we should get these documents out there because, there's also a lot of comments that all of us want from the intellectual property holders and others on our model for a variety of reasons, and because the ICANN meeting is coming up and the document deadline was today or yesterday, or ICANN posted a bunch of documents. The sooner we can get that document posted, the better. But still, be taking comments in from this group and from others.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also really interested to find out how far the current push to make claims be mandatory forever gets, because that significantly influences at least my comfort with the model that's proposed at the moment. I don't know if it's one that makes sense if we have to do this indefinitely. I'm really worried that even that conversation is being had about basically changing the rules. But if the rules are going to change, then I want to know sooner rather than later so that we can get serious about finding the right solution.
Karen, are there any discussions taking place seriously on that? Is this something that the board is? Do you guys know if they're contemplating that?
This is Kurt. I think you guys know everything we do. All the discussion about it's been the public discussion that we can all see right now.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris. If this is something that, we would just ask Kurt if you're in any discussions with the board and this comes up, if we could have a discussion with them about the technical solution we're all coming up with may not be the same. If it is, putting aside whether we should or shouldn't extend it, the technical solution, if it does get extended, may look different than what both of us are proposing. So is there, maybe we can talk while people are thinking about any comments. Can we talk about how the sessions are going to be structured in Toronto on this and how the models are going to be presented, whether you want us to present the alternate model? What's your vision, Karen and Kurt, on those sessions?
Well, I think we can get some feedback from the group on this. There's a working session scheduled for Monday afternoon, which I envision to continue the discussions that we've been having on the with this group around these topics, and then there's the regular public update session on Wednesday, which will include some of the discussions of the the trademark provisioning side, how you what are the procedures for putting data in the clearinghouse and updates on that. Although it's a long enough session that it could include some registry trademark claims and Sunrise pieces as well. So that's the vision in terms of content and how to spend the time, that the Monday one would be focused on the things that we've been talking about, and the other one would be for a more general audience. So if people have suggestions for how they think we could use the time best. Yep, Jeff. Are you still in the queue, Jeff?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was talking to mute. I think for the public session, I think it would be a good idea to just to talk about all the front-end stuff that you have in there for the trademark owners and do that presentation and concentrate the bulk there. I think on the requirements, you know, maybe a quick overview of the two solutions, but I think that might get a little too detailed for most of the public that are there. And that's just my thought. And I think most of the people that are there, you know, the IP owners and others, would really want to know the front-end stuff and test bed that you guys will set up for the, you know, getting the marks into the clearinghouse. I think that's probably the best use of that time. But that's just my opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess the other question is that how do we get to a single model? So is that the intent of the working session, or is it going to be a more of a deep dive into the two competing models?
So I think it depends a little bit on what we see as the path forward. So if there's another proposal presented this week, that time could be used to, gather more people and educate and talk through those. Or if you want to, focus it still on just the discussions and issues that we still have to work out in the in these two implementations, then we could do that as an option.
Well, so Karen, I guess this is Jeff again. I think my whole difficulty and the reason why a lot of us are quiet is that we just don't have any feedback from you all and from providers as to, yes, we're moving forward with your solution on Sunrise, no, we're not doing your claims, whatever it is. There's just been no feedback at all. And, I was hoping this would be kind of a two-way dialogue where, I mean, you guys could tell us, look, you guys, we're crazy with proposing our model and you don't think it's in any way implementable. But, just trying to get that two-way dialogue, that's how we're going to get to that single model. But if it's just these calls where we put out documents and there's no real response, then I'm not sure how we get that single model.
This is Kurt. I think that's okay. We want this, so this has to happen in certain steps. So I think this couple of calls, one last week and this week, was to sort of finalize the proposal so we understood what we were responding to. So we've been, we've discussed the proposals, across ICANN management and staff and promoted understanding there. Karen held a set of meetings with them and also a series of meetings with the providers. And so they're up to speed on the current status. And we thought this couple calls was to give others a chance to comment on the models and sort of finalize what they look at. So we're certainly not starting the analysis starting today, but we thought the purpose of these calls wasn't to react to the models, but to allow comment on them. So we kind of say, okay, this is the proposal. So we're not ready to comment today. We still take both models, we've looked at them carefully. With the IP claims model, certainly with the IP claims model, we're doing a lot of really careful balancing, and we'll come back with our opinion on them in short order, but that's not what we've done with it.
Era completamente outra pessoa, Marcelo. Passada agora.
So if people can mute if they're not speaking on the phone.
So we're having a coffee party
in
my house. It's 5 in the morning.
All right, so I had in the queue next Chris and then Jan.
I actually didn't catch the last couple of sentences of what Kurt was saying. So I just want to hear that first. If you could, sorry, Kurt, you could say it again. And then I'll get to my point.
Well, hey, Chris, so I was just kind of dragging on there. We, you know, just repeating what I said earlier, we thought the purpose of these calls was to get final clarity, you know, to give you final, was requested by, you know, the people who created the model to get comments on them, and we thought to sort of clarify them. So we've been analyzing the proposals the way we are, but and are weighing the models very carefully, especially with regard to the to the IP claims model, and because we described some, you know, what the risks we thought we saw in there, and so we've been working with the providers and at all levels of ICANN management. And all the entire ICANN technical staff is involved in it. So we're not going to be starting at our analysis after this call, but we thought the purpose of this call was just to allow, you know, these two calls were going to allow for comment and clarification on the model.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. So yeah, well, and then I guess what we're saying is that you know, tomorrow we'll be publishing these documents as because I think as you guys know, throughout the process we've been saying at certain points that we need to get feedback from mark holders and people who are more intimate with the original discussions and so forth. Jeff does his best to represent the thinking there, but obviously there were more people involved in those discussions. So as of tomorrow, we'll be at the point to be able to say, you know, here's our claims model, here's our sunrise model. We now want the broader community to look at these, give us any feedback that they have, tell us any issues that they see, to let us. And if everybody comes back and says they're happy, well then that's the end of it. Then we go, here you go, I can. This is what we want to do. But you know, if we do get some, we may get some interesting feedback from those people that will allow us to tweak the models a little bit. But before we go, you know, here I can, here they are. And you know, that's obviously going to take a little bit of time, of course, to collect and collate that feedback. And look, I don't know if I would ever be able to finish those documents and say, there we go, they're finished. Here you go, I can. Here they go, because obviously if somebody comes up with a concern or a problem, you know, 2 months from now, we're going to want to try and address that concern, if it's something worthy of being addressed. So I guess from my perspective, I would really like to start getting feedback from ICANN and the provider as soon as possible as well, because, you know, some of the issues that you guys might come up with, you know, we now already have solutions to those issues. There may have been things that we thought about, you know, internally in coming up with these documents, and we went, they're probably not too much of an issue. Let's not, you know, solve that, or let's not complicate the thing by doing that, or so forth. I don't know. If ICANN and the provider are waiting for a definitive, you know, bang, here's a set of documents, let's go, you know, I don't know that we would ever say that, but... you know, starting from tomorrow, you know, when we release the version 1.0s of the documents tomorrow, you know, I would say jump on it, get on it at that point. You know, it's ready to start having that sort of level of analysis and feedback.
Okay, thanks.
Again, this is Jan Korstens. Perhaps I can add a few lines to it.
Mm-hmm.
So as Jan Korstens from Deloitte, so as a provider, obviously, we have been following the discussion, but with this whole analysis about what the registry interface needs to be, that is ongoing. At this moment, most of our efforts have been into further developing the interface with the trademark holders and their agents. We obviously have looked at your documents. I can only confirm what Kurt is saying. We didn't really want to interfere too much with the discussion at this moment. Our initial analysis from a technical point of view is not that what you are proposing is not something that we can't do. If that would have been the case, I think we would have informed ICANN that was the case. What I think the next steps need to be is that and the IP community needs to look added, and ICANN needs to take a final decision, and then we can move on. Again, from a technical point of view, it should be possible, but I don't think I'm saying something new. If you can understand that the second part to the claims model as you have proposed it is a heavier solution than the one that was initially on the document, and that in our initial assessment, it seems like it's going to take us more investment to do it. To which extent that will be a breaking point is absolutely not clear at this moment, because we wanted to have a final view from ICANN on whether or not they want to go with it, because I think the biggest issue or the biggest question there is perhaps not even the cost as such, but still the decision on whether or not we want to put the clearinghouse into the critical path of the internet or not. So I'm hoping that ICANN and the board will take a decision on that. If that is taken, then we can at least try to do a detailed calculation on what it will take us and how we will all fit this into, let's say, a pricing or a cost model. We hope to do that as soon as possible. So hopefully, if these documents can now be posted in a final version or almost, let's say, a draft but almost final version, then the next steps can at least be taken, and hopefully they can all be taken as soon as possible, so that in Toronto, with everybody being around the table, decisions can be made, in my view. So that's a little bit of an update from our side, and that is also the reason why we are still relatively silent in this discussion.
Thank you, Jan. Next I have Jim.
Yeah, I guess to follow up on that, Chris's, also on Chris's response as well, is that I think that the group here is really has a need to hear from the provider and ICANN on the alternate model, because I'm hearing analysis, I'm hearing determining technical feasibility. I think that the model itself could be tweaked and customized based on a collaboration between ICANN, the provider, and the community. So, I encourage the provider and ICANN to provide that feedback ASAP instead of waiting till, once a decision is made and then say, oh, by the way, this is the decision we made. It's much better if we can collaborate on this and have a two-way discussion. That's all.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, it would be really good if at some point we could go to the IP community collectively saying that, if ICANN and the provider don't actually see any problems with our model, it would be really good if we could go to the IP community saying, here's a model that we've come up with that none of these parties have too many concerns with. Do you guys have any concerns? I don't know. It kind of looks a little bit like ICANN's trying to hedge its bets and just wait and see what everyone else is going to say before they give their opinion. But, I mean, surely right now you guys have an opinion.
Jeff, in the queue?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just going to kind of concur with Chris and just say, I don't want this to look like it's some kind of adversarial process. Here's what ICANN proposes and here's what the registry proposes. If it's some sort of, adversarial battle, and then we see which one wins in the end. I mean, I think what Chris said is right, and Jim, if we can go in and say we've had these discussions, we've come to the conclusion that this is the way we want to this is the way we want to move forward, but we want to get your input. That's going to be so much more productive than, I call this sometimes the ICANN way, right? ICANN, some groups say one thing, some groups say another thing, and then all of a sudden you get the decision by the board from up on high, and that's just the way it goes. I think this we can set a different precedent, which is, that maybe initially there was one proposed by ICANN staff and then one proposed by the registry, but they got together and here's the unified draft. And present that unified draft to the board. I think that's just so much more productive and shows so much more of a success of the ICANN model. than having, you know, sending every decision up to the board. So, I mean, I think it'd be good for the ICANN model as a whole to do it that way.
Okay, thanks. let's see, any other feedback on Toronto sessions or the way forward? So I think, Curtis mentioned, we have been, doing our own analysis of the options here and trying to, weigh them pretty carefully. As I mentioned last week too, that we did want to do that and did want to listen to the feedback that was on these calls. So I think what we can do is follow up with an update later this week on the path forward. If we have the additional draft or documents that we want to post, then that can be part of the update. Okay. Unless there's anything else, I think we can.
Karen, this is Jeff. Maybe if people have thoughts, I don't know if you want to turn to those questions that were at the end of the trademark claims document, since we have everyone on the line. If there was any more thought given to the timing of receiving responses to the claims and actually registering the domains. So in other words, we started talking about on the last call, if someone were to have a batching type process where in the land rush period or during the first 60 days of general availability, at what point does the registry need to collect the yes, I want to proceed notice, and at what point do we just say that, let me go back a step. So if when the registrar submits the application, they've checked it across the claims, they find that there is not a claim, and then the registry holds on to those applications for 30 days because it's going to do an auction, or 45 days or 60 days. Then at the time it does the auction, there actually is a claim in the clearinghouse. That was one of the subjects we wanted to talk about on these calls to see if there's any further thought about that kind of timing.
Thanks. So this is the four bullets in section six?
Yes.
Okay. So those are up on the screen. And we had some suggestions and discussion on this last week. I think tell me if this is incorrect, but it seems that if you answer the first two questions, if you set some time parameters for those, then that kind of addresses how you how you are able to build the other different types of allocation methods. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it addresses the how long after you have to get the acceptance. But I guess the other question, it may not be in the outstanding issues, it may not be stated very well, but what if there was no claim initially when you filed the application, but then when you actually delegate the name, by that point in time there actually is a claim in the clearinghouse? And one thing we said in our document was, well, you'd establish an effective date for all claims in order to participate in this land rush, all claims have to be in the clearinghouse by X date, and that X date is a couple weeks before the whole period starts. So I just want to make sure we're all comfortable with that kind of proposal. But then on a first-come, first-serve, if there's a centralized model, after that land rush, then it shouldn't be a problem. You don't have to have that kind of effective date. That's kind of what I wanted to discuss on this call. I thought would be a good topic.
Okay, well, the queue is open on this. But if you, this is just my question, so if you have an answer on the second bullet where that says how long, there can be between the acknowledgement given to the claims notice and the actual domain registration, doesn't that determine then how you do the address the case where there wasn't a claim at the time, but there.
Chris,
no.
You
okay.
So if I can jump in. So
yeah. No,
yeah. Realistically, there are two. I think subtly different but closely related questions to answer. And the first one I think everybody gets, right? The first one is basically exactly as you're saying, how long after someone accepts a notice can that acceptance be used? Well, I shouldn't say that. How long after somebody either accepts a notice or after a registry, after somebody checks that there is no claims, is that check or that acceptance allowed to be used to in the registration of a name? So that's one. And the second one is during a effectively a land rush phase where you don't actually take domain name registrations, you take applications for registrations, is the claim check being done at the point of application enough? Or is there an expectation that an additional claim check be done again before the name is allocated? And if the answer to that is yes, then we bring you a host of other issues to solve. If the answer is it's accessible just at the application point, then everything's cool. And I think there are differing views on that. There's the registry views there, but then there's going to be the view of the person who's applying for the name, and then there's going to be the view of the trademark holders. I think it was Tom Barrett. He posted some interesting emails to the list, talking about the perspective of the person registering the name, essentially saying that it's their responsibility to deal with this. That if we did the claims check at point of applying for the name, that if anything changed after that point, it was essentially that person's responsibility to deal with, rather than the registry's, registrar's, trademark clearinghouse, et cetera, et cetera. So that if he then paid a lot of money for the name in an auction and then ended up somebody URS or UDIPing him, that's his own fault because he has a responsibility, inherent responsibility to make sure he's not infringing anyone's trademark anyway. These things are just extra and above that, which I think I agree with, and I think, Jeff, you replied agreeing to that, but don't let me put words in your mouth. But I guess we want to know if the rest of the community is happy with that. And then, realistically, if that is the case, the only other answer we need is the first one about the time period between an acceptance and a registration.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Anyone else?
Not much comment on the boards today. I think everyone's exhausted. Jonathan has a comment. Jonathan, you want to make that in the call or just on the chat?
Sure, Jeff, thanks. I can back that up with a little more. But, I mean, essentially, I mean, it strikes me that given the operational complexity that Chris described of the variation versus acceptance at the point of application and the likelihood of change, it sounds to me like that's something that we should push reasonably hard for as an operational policy, if you like, or an implementation policy, the fact that acceptance of the mark or not at the time of application seems to be very attractive from the point of view of implementation at least. I guess the big worry is if the program is sufficiently strung out that those rights holders, I suspect it's less about rights holders' rights changing in the interim and more about the prospective addition of new rights. In other words, let's say there's a pharmaceutical under development and the application for a trademark is in process but not registered and therefore not registerable in the trademark clearinghouse, but that information is in some way out in the public domain, it's possible that that issue would you know, fall foul of simply showing early applicants prior to registration. That's where I can see an issue. But I think it's an edge case, and I think on balance, it would be tempting to try and permit IP claims being shown at the point of application, not eventual registration. That's my opinion at the moment.
Thanks, Jonathan. Chris?
Jonathan, I think all of us involved in drafting this document, anyway, I think we all agree with you as well, so that's good to hear. And I just also want to point out that this issue exists regardless of the implementation model. So both current proposed models, both the ICAM model and this model, need answers on both of these two issues, on the acceptance, time between acceptance and registration issue, and the how to deal with land rush style scenarios issues. So yeah, so just to be clear, we need to address this problem one way or another.
Okay, other comments, feedback, questions?
So, Karen, this is Jeff. I mean, are these questions that we could pose at the sessions in Toronto, or it is regardless of the model, this is going to be an issue?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, it's the goal to design a process that you know can be used in a variety of startup mechanisms according to what the registry wants to do, and still maintain the spirit of the, you know, of the claims process and what it was designed to do. So I think there's some productive discussions we could have around that. Jonathan?
Thanks, Karen. That's, just to follow on from that, then, that's an interesting point, because in some ways one might want to frame the discussion in Toronto around the two different issues. One is a set of issues that need to be decided on independent of where the eventual model settles, and some are specifically linked to the model itself, or the variant of the model itself. So I think that might be one way of framing the discussion,
mm-hmm.
As I say, into those two compartments. Thanks.
Thank you. Others? Okay. Anything else in the documents that people want to bring up? Okay, well, if not, I think we can go back and continue working on this. So a couple of things that I think were agreed here. One is that we will clarify the yesterday's announcement and note the there's ongoing work in the, with this group. We expect to receive a document that is ready to be circulated later this week, and then we'll also, you know, from the ICANN and provider team, come back this week with what we see as the way forward, following up from these calls. And that, I thank everybody for joining, and we will speak with you soon.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Left. Thank you.